this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And you let it shine where you are. Not where you hope to be someday, but where you are right now.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, September 6, 2026. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Reading the Word. And our text comes to us from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Why should you really study the Bible? Why should you be in the Word? We mention that often, but sometimes we don't explain it as I think we should. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 17 gives us our text for this Sunday morning. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from you went too fast. Go back. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And verse 17, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. May God bless the reading of his word. there are two aspects to this morning. And the first one is people, you like you and me, we read the Bible and sometimes we need to study the Bible. Reading the Bible is very important, but studying the Bible means to slow down and to study it specifically. Reading asks, what does this passage say? But study is, what does it mean? But we need to read the Bible to become familiar with God's story, to nourish our daily walk with him, to observe carefully and interpret responsibly and apply faithfully what he says about you and about me. Both are necessary. There are times in your life as a Christian where you need to just simply read to get the breadth of what it means. But then there are times that you need to dive into it, where you get some depth. Reading introduces you to a landscape, but study helps you dig into it and pull out some of the treasures that are there. So we need to be honest in our life, and this is a wonderful day. We need to be honest about why sometimes we don't study or don't read the Bible, why we neglect the reading of the Word. Most Christians do not reject the Bible, neither you nor I, and most of us, of course, respect it. Some of you own a Bible. How many own a Bible? How many brought it to church? You know, your iPhone, yeah. And there was a time when people would have several copies in their homes. And yet, though the abundance of Bibles and copies and applications doesn't necessarily mean that you're using them. And I'm saying you need to make use of it. Don't let that big Bible, and it used to be big Bible. We used to have a big pulpit Bible. It's not here, no. It was like three or four bricks put together, you know. You could cast out demons with it too. Shake them. But it will do no good if it just stays there. You need to open it. And you need to read the Word every single day. So let's be very honest this Sunday morning and ask ourselves the question, why sometimes I don't read the Bible? I don't read the Bible or I don't study the Bible. Let's put them together. I think number one is that we're very busy people. Busy. You're very busy. I mean, you've got so many important things to do. You know, we're busy. And life is, in reality, crowded with work and family responsibilities and appointments that you need to take are and concerns and the issues that go on. And you say, yeah, I know it, I need to read it, but later on. Right now I need to watch Law and Order. Or I need to watch this, or I need to do that, or I need to do the other. We're busy. We're busy people. But later often never comes. And the day will come to a close, and you have not even opened the pages of God's Word. We're busy. I would like to say to you that busyness can be a sin, or at least it could lead you to sin because it defrosts you from reading the Word and being in the Word of the Lord. You can never really assume to be too busy to read the Word of God. Don't simply say, I will read it later. Read it at that moment. Sometimes, secondly, we neglect it because, well, let's see, we feel inadequate in reading the Bible. We say, I read it and I don't understand it. Or others will say to me, this has happened, I don't know where to begin. And the one that I can't forgive is, well, if the Bible is for pastors. You read it, Pastor. It's for those who are teachers and scholars. But I want you to know that God did give his word to all of his people, not just to specialists. And all of us have a responsibility to maybe feel inadequate and then feel adequate, because whenever we open the pages of Scripture, we must pray and say, Lord, open my eyes that I may see the wonders of your word. And that's how we begin our Bible reading. We don't ever begin the Bible, reading the Bible, thinking we know. No, we come to the Bible saying, I don't know. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. And you can be blessed even reading the genealogies when you do that. Okay, silence. You don't know what that is. Okay, let's move on. But I do want you to know that God has given the Bible to people like you and me. But we think we're inadequate. But the Lord is the one who causes you to be adequate. He's the one that empowers you and helps you understand what he's saying in his word. Sometimes, this is going to be difficult, but sometimes we neglect the reading of the word because we have become satisfied with what I call second-hand knowledge. For instance, you're not listening to the sermon and you think that is enough. It's important, but it's not a substitute for you reading the Bible itself. Secondhand knowledge. You listen to sermons. Some of you do some podcasts. Others listen to some teachings. And those are valuable gifts, and we need it in the body of Christ. But you cannot allow others to do our spiritual thinking for ourselves. We need to do our own reading and our own thinking, and then listen to sermons and everything else. And sometimes, if we're completely honest, we don't read the Bible really, because it confronts us. It's funny. It happened to me the other day. I was reading the scriptures, and all of a sudden, I felt uneasy because I knew what was coming in the chapter. I got to do something else. And I felt the nudge of the Lord saying, you got to keep reading. And as I kept reading, the Lord kept speaking to me on issues that have to do with my life, none of your business. But the Lord corrects us in the scriptures. And sometimes, somehow, we just kind of like, it's going to confront me because I am doing something that is not necessarily the will of God for my life. Or I'm fudging. Or I'm skipping, or I'm cutting corners. The Bible will confront you, but it also will comfort you because it corrects you, it challenges your attitudes, exposes your motives, oh, good grief. And then it calls us to obey Christ. It takes you through the whole process. Talk about a psychologist. Talk about someone who knows what's going on in you and for you, and how he's able to correct and to strengthen and to mold and to shape the intentions of your heart. We'll get to that in a minute. The Word of God is very powerful, and you and I need to do everything we can to read the Word, to be in the Word, to listen to the Word. Not as monks, but as people who actively practice His presence and His Word is applied in every instance of our life. He says that with every temptation, He makes a way of escape. Every task that you have, every issue that you face, by being in the Word, He empowers you to handle it. Amen? Silencio en la noche. Now, that's the negative side, but let me give you the positive side. Why should we really be in the Word as much as we should be? And why studying the Bible and reading the Bible is not really an option, but it's a mandate to our hearts from God. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus is the Word of God. It's not just for, quote, devoted Christians. It's for every one of us who knows the Lord. You and I should be in the Word of God. We read the text in 2 Timothy 3:14-15. Continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. And he says, from childhood, Paul says to Timothy, you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation. You know, you're constantly being saved. We have salvation, eternal salvation. We come to Christ. But every single day, we need to be saved. At least I ask the Lord to save me every day, because every day has its challenges. And every day I have the option of disobeying the Lord or obeying the Lord. Every day I have the option of doing right or doing wrong. So by keeping myself in the Word, it gives me wisdom, the ability to think like God would think. Imagine that. That leads to salvation. Get me out of the spot through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So the reading of the Word, the studying of the Word, being in the Word is absolutely crucial for you and for me. So three things why you should study the Word. It's going to be a short message. Aren't you happy? Bandidos todos ustedes. When you and I read the Word, when we get involved in the Word, it brings us to Christ. Listen to me. It brings you and I to Christ. And it keeps us rooted in Him. Because often when we receive the Word, it's like the parable of the sower. Sometimes the Word comes and it hits shallow ground. And the wind comes and blows it away. Sometimes the Word comes and, you know, it begins to grow. And then the weeds around you just erase it. And as you read the parable of the sower, you see that there was one moment when the soil was good and it grew. And by reading the Word, you keep yourself rooted in the Lord. It holds you. It holds you. You know, the Bible is not just a collection of religious stories or stuff or a bunch of moral reasons or lessons or rules of ancient land. The Scriptures points us to Christ. Christ, your Savior. When you read the Word, it will point you to Christ. Paul says that it leads us to salvation through Him, Christ Jesus. We don't study necessarily the Bible to get information. We study so that we can know the Lord in a more profound and more deeply manner. You got to be rooted in the Word. You got to pull your roots into the Word of God. You need to anchor yourself in the Word. In the days in which we're living, if you don't have that, you are in big trouble. So many winds that come and go wants to blow away that which God has begun in you. But if you give yourself a time of you and the Word, a time of personal working with the Word, you will be anchored and rooted in the Word, and you'll get to know Christ in ways you have never dreamed possible. Jesus said, you search the Scriptures. He says, and it's these that testify about me in John 5:39. Every part of Scripture, no matter where you read it, leads us towards the God who saves, the God who redeems, the God who calls, the God who transforms. Listen, every time you spend with the Word, It's God speaking and mending you and helping you become the person you need to be for His glory and for yourself as well. There's nothing better than a Christian loving God. Imagine you read the word and it saves you from the imminent danger that you're facing. Imagine you read the word and you're redeemed from things that are wrong in your life. God brings you back. Imagine you read the word and He calls you. There's a purpose and a direction in your life that He has for you. There's intentionality in your life in the hands of God. And then He transforms you. You're no longer the same. Amen? You're no longer the same. He transforms you. But when you neglect this very simple process of reading the Bible, when you neglect the Bible, you become vulnerable. Yes. And you build your Christianity, you build your faith on what is known as feelings. How many know about feelings? You feel good, then God's good. No, feelings is not a foundation. Or you build your faith on preferences, what you prefer, or opinions. But when you open the scriptures, Christ meets us there for sure. It's a stable thing. It's not your feelings, it's not your preferences, they're not your opinions. It's Christ made alive as you enter His word with an attitude of reverence and saying, Lord, open my eyes that I may see the wonders of your word. Amen. ¿Por qué tanto silencio? So I would ask you, please, to read the Bible because it brings you close to Christ. Nothing brings you closer than going into the Word. Second reason, you and I study the Bible because it forms our character. I alluded to this. And corrects our way. If you think your way doesn't need correcting, let me tell you, you need to be corrected. I might as well tell you that. If you did not know that, I'll tell you. You're crooked. We all move away. We waver. But see, Paul says all scripture is inspired of God and is profitable. It's profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, training in righteousness. God has a way of speaking to you and addressing the attitudes of your character and changing them to be more like Christ. We desperately need to have our life being shown the right way. I desperately need the Lord to correct my thinking and my thoughts. And vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And sometimes I think it's my text. Vengeance is mine, saith Enrique. And that's not it. The ways in which you and I approach the scripture where it helps us to form and correct our character, our ways. Secondly, when I get into the scriptures, it corrects me. When I have gone wrong, the wrong way, it rebukes me, actually. Rebuking is not slapping you in the face. It's showing you how you should do it. It shows us the right path. It trains us as to how to have a righteous life, a life that points to the right horizon. It's not going down, but going up. We all need the ministry of the Word in our lives. How can we possibly think that we as Christians can survive if we don't spend time in the Word of the Lord? As I mentioned, there are attitudes that need to be corrected and habits that need to be modified and wounds that need to be healed. Did you know that the Bible will heal your wounds? Some of us have deep wounds, and the only one that can heal that is the Word. The Word. He said He sent His Word and healed them. He sends His Word to you as you read, you meditate, you think of God, you read the pages of Scripture, and I am telling you, wounds will be healed. It's the only way to heal properly. Decisions that you are making need to be guided by the Word and by God giving you wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to do the things that you cannot do for yourself by allowing you to think like God would think. Think of that. Wisdom is that. He is our wisdom. He is unto us wisdom, the scripture says. So when you have to make a decision, you have to take a path. The Lord will give you the ability, the wisdom, the understanding to do the right thing. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is alive. It's alive. It's living and active and able to look at the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That's why I began to say first why we sometimes don't read the Bible. Because when we go into the Bible reveals the real you. Will the real you please stand up? Remember that show many, many centuries ago? We don't stand over the Bible to judge the Bible. It's the other way around. We allow the Bible to stand over us. And it searches us. And it reorders. And calls us back to obedience. It's God working in your life. In the core of your life. In the heart of your life. Inside of you. That's why 2 Timothy 3:17 tells us something very important. We study the Bible because God wants us to prepare for every good work. So you and I study because it brings us close to Christ. Secondly, because it forms our character, which is very important. And then thirdly, we study the Bible because God wants to prepare us for every good work. Again, we have a purpose in life. We have a ministry, a place of service, a place where we will develop our life and our context in the strength and in the vitality of a living God. You're placed in society wherever you are by God's design. And where you are, you must shine and live for the glory of God. Don't ever expect to start working for God when things get better. You work for the Lord where you are right now. There's a chorus in Spanish, and it's in English as well. I like it more in Spanish. Brilla en el sitio donde estás. Shine this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. And you let it shine where you are. Not where you hope to be someday, but where you are right now. And that's exactly what we're talking about. God prepares us for good works where we are. You don't need to wait any longer. Where you are is where you need to shine. 2 Timothy 3:17. Paul concludes, so that the man of God, the person, may be complete, equipped for every good work. Good grief. You know, God did not save you and me for us to sit still. There's something going on in your life this morning that you need to engage in the presence and in the power of the Lord. He has called you to serve. You know, you serve. Let me see if I can do this. Maybe I'm domesticating it too much. But you serve when you wash dishes. You serve when you cook. You serve when you drive. You serve when you go to work. Everything that you do for the glory of God. There's this whole complex phenomena of God being involved in everything that you do. Yeah, exactly. Calls you to serve. Calls you to love. You need to love the unlovable. How many know unlovable people? Love them. Sometimes you look in the mirror, you know. He's called you to witness. When was the last time you opened your mouth and you said to somebody, Jesus loves you? He calls us to endure. Oh, that's the one I don't like. Because we want to be delivered now from everything that we have to endure. Endure is staying there and moving and believing and trusting God when everything is against you is part of God's calling your life. Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount. If you hear my words and you do them, the floods are going to come. There's going to be a whole bunch of ruin, but you're not going to be hurt because your house is built on the rock. When you build on the word of the Lord, you're going to have the ability to endure. Endure. Everybody say endure. Just want everybody to know that you're here. Okay. But the next one is even worse. Worse, you know. You need to forgive the unforgivable. See, the good thing is that it's the Lord that does it for you. You lend yourself to the presence of God, and you ask the Lord to help you to do these things, to serve, to love, to witness, to endure, to forgive. Forgiveness is one of the greatest releases that you could ever accomplish in your life in the presence of God. When all of a sudden you let it go because it's not worth keeping it. It's not worth keeping it. There's poison when you don't forgive. Forgive the unforgivable. I mean, just think about the Lord forgiving you, and then it's secondary. You can forgive everything else, though it's very difficult. It's difficult, but you need to ask the Lord, help me to forgive, Lord. We talked about that. We've heard the message this year from this pulpit. So you need to forgive. So God saves us not just to sit still, but he's called us to serve, to love, to witness, to endure, to forgive. How about leading our families? Men, are you leading your families? Or is your wife leading the families? There's nothing wrong with that. But men should be the head of the house. They should be the priests. The scripture says that. Are you leading the family? And you are here to lead the family. And you're here to bless the church. You're here to bless the church. The church is people around you right here. We've had occasions, and I was known about it. I would be told later of people in need that I had no idea they had need, but others knew that there were needs, and they would help one another and nurture one another and protect one another. It's wonderful. We're here to bless the church. And always, 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 the end game for me is to bring the good news of Christ into the world. And what is the good news? He forgives sins, yes, but he calls us to serve, to love, to witness, to endure, to forgive, to lead our families, to bless the church. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People transformed by the power of his word. I would like to say amen, but you know, you and I cannot do these things if we're not adequately equipped. And the equipment comes by reading of the word. When you don't read the word, you're not in the word, you're malnourished, and your work is not done completely well. Have you ever seen a person who is malnourished? It's agony. And sometimes we neglect the reading of the word, we neglect spending time in the word, and without even knowing it, we're spiritually malnourished. And then we look for entertainment to make up for that deficiency, and we eat popcorn and cotton candy, and we feel good. We have a high, and then we have a low. You got to spend time in the privacy of God's presence, saying, Lord, help me today. And no matter what you read in God's word, it will provide you with an avenue to strengthen you and to give you the ability to do all those things that you and I need to do for his glory. I also believe that some of us know a couple of verses from the Bible, knew a couple of favorite verses, and we can somewhat survive for a moment. But it's very difficult to just live with a couple of verses that we've memorized, because you have to discern God's voice in a confused world. And it's not just knowing John 3:16. It's got to go beyond John 3:16. It's got to go to that place where you know and you understand that God is doing something great and deep in your life. Well, my brothers and sisters, I think this is as far as I want to take it this morning. Because you and I need, and we have the responsibility to come before God and to say, Lord, here is my life. Now tune it up and use the word of God as a tuning instrument. That God will work in your life. Put away all those excuses and put away all those ideas that have muddled the issue. You need to be in the word. And you know, it doesn't take that long. For some of you, it may take a long time, but it doesn't take really that long. All it takes is your willingness to say to the Lord, Lord, here I am. I'm going to read your word and you guide me. And you know, it doesn't happen overnight, but it happens overnight. God works mysteriously in your life. And he processes things in your life and rearranges things that you don't even know, so that the word will be blessed in your life. And circumstances will begin to adjust themselves. And your heart will be adjusting. And sometimes you will see that circumstances have not changed, but you have changed because of the word of the Lord. See, we need God's word. We really need it. What can I tell you? It's just unbelievable how sometimes we forget that we need the full counsel of God, that we need to hear the stories of the Bible. We need to hear the commands of the Bible. We need to listen and understand the promises of God. We need to read the warnings of Scripture, the prayers of Scripture, the gospel stories, the teachings of the epistles. Psalms 119 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It's a step every single day. The Lord has never, at least in my experience, shown me the whole road, but he has shown me the next step. And you and I need to take that next step because it gives us the ability to take the other step. And step by step, we approach the Lord's will in our lives. So Bible study, I am concluding, Bible study should not really be something to be endured. Let's receive it as a gift from God. And through his word, he brings us close to Christ, transforms our character, equips us for service. So my question to you is not necessarily, do you have time to study the Bible? I think a deeper question is, can you afford not to study the Bible? Can you afford not to read the word of God? Can you live without the Lord's voice shaping your minds and your hearts and your lives? So let's have a week of prayer and a week of reading the scriptures, not just to complete that reading plan, but to listen to God and to know Christ and to obey his voice and to be prepared for every good work. Tell what we're going to do next Sunday with the Lord's willing. If the Lord's guiding us, I want next Sunday to be a Sunday for healing. He heals all the time. But I want next Sunday to be a time for you and I to fast and to pray for God to bring healing in the congregation, healing of the body, of the mind, of the soul. There's so many needs in the church today. And let's begin with healing on this next coming Sunday, the second Sunday. It's the second Sunday, correct? Yeah, thank you. I just got to make sure that I... Let's have a Sunday, a healing Sunday. And come ready for that. Come ready expecting God to work his word. He sent his word and he healed him. So we want to see that. I'm asking you to spend time in the word this week. More time maybe than you have had in the past. But enough as for you to come to church Sunday knowing that God will be bringing healing to the congregation, to people who come and need God's touch in their lives. Amen. Are you sure? Will you stand with me? Lord, we stand before we take communion to thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you, Lord, for inspiring us to follow you and to find you in the pages of your word. Lord, as we take communion this Sunday morning, deepen into our hearts the commitment to follow you. Lord, we thank you for you're able to do above and beyond all that we can ask or think. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Above all names, blessed.
Before we dismiss, I just want you to know that you are not an invisible person. God sees everything about you, and He loves you. And no matter what you're going through, there's a God who cares for you, loves you, and He's willing to speak to you if you're willing to hear Him. May I just rephrase that and say, He is speaking to you even when you're not willing to listen to Him. But when you open your heart and say, Lord, is there something for me here? Then He will show you. And if you would like to speak to me after the service, I will be more than glad to speak with you and talk with you, not myself, but others as well. We're capable men and women who know the Lord and have some sort of an understanding that there are no invisible people to the eyes of God. Amen? All right, church, this is the day that the Lord has made. The other day was hot, and stinking hot. Now it is all wet. But it's still the day of the Lord. And we will rejoice in the day He's given us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bb4square.org. If you would like to see the full service with the worship time included, check out the live stream here on YouTube. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.